Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah.
What time it is?
Let's get it.
Oh, yeah. Y'all want
going
some of this?
Up on a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Sorry, I can't help it. It's just too easy.
That's all good, man. Oh, man, we're setting it up, man. Okay, we are officially here talking sports with the 12th man. Another Tuesday edition of this, you know, because, just trying to get schedules down, and we like getting the talk in early. So I am your host, Mr. Dre. It's all good, though, because, we're not having any all-star breaks or anything like that. We're going to keep this going as well, too. But let's check in with my fellas, JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, I'm good. And everybody, we got to do it on Tuesday tonight. We're going to go back to Wednesday. But we all would like to not go to bed and get slapped by our wives tomorrow trying to roll into bed at 12:15 on Valentine's night. So we're going to come for you on Tuesday this week.
Rob's trying to get us in trouble, man. You want to do it tomorrow? Like, nah, bro.
No.
Yeah. Rob, what's up, bro?
Next week, we'll be back on Wednesday night, people. Next week, Wednesday night, we'll be back to our third straight Tuesday. Even next week, back to Wednesday, people.
There
I love it is. Thank you. What's going on Tuesday?
Yes, sir.
So we'll have some fun with that, too. But let's talk the numbers. Let's get this party started. As always, reach out to us, the 424-243-9519. That's the number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally, Facebook.com, type in Talking Sports for the 12th Man or 12th Man Sports. You will find us as well. So we got a small kind of condensed show, which is good because I know we're probably getting prepped for Valentine's and all that fun stuff. But we're just going to kick this right off, and we're still going to talk some NFL. And I do want to – I got an extra topic, guys. I want you guys to think about this not now but a little later on, as far as how Josh McDaniels' decision affects him in the future too as well, because him kind of doing like the 1-2, I think that affected him for the future, for future jobs as well too. That was a terrible decision, even though Colts have made another hire, but just terrible. But we'll talk about that later on. But anyway, let's kick it off with the top 8 QBs in the NFL right now. So I'm going to kick this off to Rob, and JQ, you will be on deck. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, I mean – obviously, he lost the Super Bowl, but you got to start with Tom Brady still at the number one spot, even at 40 years of age, MVP of this past season. I don't think there's any questions about that, even after, how successful his year was this year, even with the Super Bowl loss, still got him at the number one position. Number two, you might think I'm a little biased, but I got Drew Brees at the number two spot.
Tabby.
Even
biased.
As he's not gone.
I knew it was going to be Drew Brees.
Of course.
Come on, man. Aaron Rodgers, man. Back. I'll let you have your role. Here
got
we go.
Brees at the number two spot, even though he's also knocking on 40 years of age as well.
Real hard.
Broke the all-time completion percentage rate this past season. And he's got about 8 of the 10 all-time completion percentage seasons. So when you look at completion percentage, clearly have been the best in a long, long time. I know JQ, Kenny Anderson of Cincinnati Bengals, an old name. He was high up in that category once
yes,
or twice
sir.
As well. Steve Young, of course, as well. But Drew Brees has been phenomenal from the completion percentage standpoint and yardage. He's had quite a few 5,000-yard seasons as well. Ben Roethlisberger got him at the number three spot. Obviously a disappointing loss. He thought they were shoo-in for the AFC Championship game. Still put up 40-something points against Jacksonville, against that elite defense in that semifinal game, even though they lost. Also another phenomenal season outside of that bad 5-INT game he had against Jacksonville in the regular season. Aaron Rodgers, even though he was hurt this past season, have him at the number 4 spot. We'll see if he have any kind of bounce back season this coming year. Number 5, even though he got hurt and missed the playoffs, Carson Wentz. Like what I saw from him. I still think he's got a tremendous future in the National Football League, and looked like he's got an MVP potential going forward. Obviously, you know, he may miss a little bit at the beginning of next season, but I still think the future is tremendously bright for Carson Wentz. Number 6, Andre's team, Matt Ryan. A little disappointing rebound from the Super Bowl of last season after probably having his best season in the league last year. Still have him in the top 8 at the number 6 position. Another guy that's on the rise, number 1 pick in the draft a couple of years ago, Jared Goff. I'll put him at the number 7 position. I think he's another guy that's going to be one of those guys that's got tremendous from a completion percentage standpoint. Jared Goff at the number 7 spot. And number 8, even though he had a little bit of a disappointing season this past season, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson at the number 8 spot. When you look at the success he's had for the bulk of his career and offensive line issues this past season with the Seahawks, I know there's some guys out there, honorable mention you can put out there, like Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford. I think Stafford is a little bit overrated. Still haven't been able to do much getting this team deep into the playoffs. And but there's quite a few other guys that you can put on this list as well. But that's my 8 for now.
Wow. Rob, a prisoner of the moment. Robert Ford. All right. I'm going with my 8. So I've got mine in
You did say at the moment.
I got you. But, I mean, it's hard for me still not to put in the body of work for you putting in the same way you roll off all those great stats from Drew Brees in the past. So you did a little pass in there. So I'm going to chide you a little bit. So top 3, I've got the same 3. You know, that's the first tier to me. That's that holy triumvirate of quarterbacks. I think Tom Brady is much as it. Like I always say, it burns my esophagus to say such things about Tom Brady. I still have Tom Brady number 1. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, and I, you know, just his talent alone and able to do more with less in there, especially with that defense not being as good here lately. He's been battling the injury bug, and I get that. But just the eye test for me, Aaron Rodgers, number 2. Drew Brees, number 3, and, you know, you can do a coin flip between Brees and Rodgers. They both sitting on 1 Super Bowl ring, but you just can't, you know, you can't knock Drew Brees. I mean, that dude's a stud. He's been a stud since Purdue. Then in my next tier, I've got 2 guys going with 2 Super Bowl winners. I got Big Ben 4th again. That burns me down to my soul to say that. I mean, not just my esophagus, like the whole lining. Like, I need a whole ear, nose, and throat doctor to even say that out loud. But
we had the same top 4, just different order.
Just different order. But then now we're going to get different. Russell Wilson, again, the eye test, and, you know, his offensive line has just been awful. And you talk about, you know, Angry Doug Baldwin is his best wide receiver. While Doug is good, he's not great. He didn't really have an elite wide receiver there in Seattle, in my opinion. I think I'll put Russ 5. And then I go to my 3rd tier, and you can put them in what order you want to. These are the guys that I think are knocking on it, but, you know, have not quite gotten that Super Bowl ring yet. I'm going to put Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton rounding out my 6 through 8 there. Just, again, for me to eye test, and, you know, you guys, MVP and Ryan and Newton. I agree Stafford somewhat, but, you know, I think that's just a plague that plagues the franchise of Detroit, and it's hard to put on one guy to turn it around. And then, of course, my young guys are on the outside looking in the Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson and Jared Goff. I just need to see a little bit more from them before I can see them crack that top 8. So I'll put them on that next line. So I've got those, you know, those 4 tiers for me are the guys. So those are my top 8 and then plus 3. I think that could make some noise and maybe – you know, knock out a Cam Newton or anyone in those top bottom 3, really. They could knock out Newton, Ryan, or Stafford in the Winston, Watson, and Goff, but not quite yet.
Yeah, good call, man. I mean, I think we are pretty similar as far as that, too. I mean, I'm kind of similar to yours, JQ, as far as that. I just literally went and started, like, Phillip Rivers in there, like, number 7. I mean, I know it's kind of like I think he's kind of violently doing this thing, too, so I just think he's
more,
probably number 7. Yeah, so
underrated.
And like I said, Matthew Stafford,
he's fallen
off
the map.
He has, but he's been, you know, keeping on, you know, like you said, too. So it's just one of those things. He's not spectacular, but just kind of solid. And just he just hasn't had the good breaks, man. Just kind of, you know, pretty consistent doing this thing. Just hasn't been able to crack that tough side. And like you said, guys, same thing, you know, Deshaun Watson, up-and-comer. Talked about Dak. You know, Derek Carr. I mean, you can say what you say what you will about him. And then this is another one that's very surprising. We'll see if he continues this trend. Is Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, we got that new contract, man. Let's see how he progresses, man, because with that offense that Kyle Shanahan is installing. No. I said keep a lookout for him. I said on the come up. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not putting him anywhere. I'm just saying just keep an eye on him because I think with the offense that Kyle Shanahan, he's got a real opportunity to be really good. So that's just, you know, putting him in position to be successful. So that's me from that perspective as well, guys. So, yeah, good stuff. All right, guys, we didn't talk about this last week, but it was a big trade, obviously, with the Redskins acquiring Alex Smith from the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think this was a byproduct of, obviously, you know, the Chiefs ready to hand the reins over to Patrick Mahomes. And then now we've got Kirk Cousins kind of out there. And this Kirk Cousins move, guys, leaves a lot of interesting things because, you know, obviously, as Robert says a lot, free agency is before the draft. So there may be some teams out there that may literally get Kirk Cousins, and I guess we can kind of figure about this because there's a lot of different places. If he's drafted or, excuse me, if he's signed, that's definitely most certainly going to affect the draft, whether, you know, I'm not saying he's going to Cleveland or anything like that, but you never know. So your thoughts about this, I mean, and I guess, JQ, should he chase the money or should he chase wins is the next question from because there's a team that's going to pay him a lot of money, and the question is, where is he at in that perspective? So what do you think?
Oh, yeah, you know me. I'm going to say chase the wins because I feel like if you get the wins, the starting quarterback, the money will follow. And it may not always be in the contract, but you're going to be the first one in line to get the endorsements and everything that goes along with it. So for me, I say chase the wins. To me, you just can't take the Browns and go into the Jets seriously. That, to me, is chasing the money. And then no matter what happens, they're going to pay you that money. They're going to expect you to be, you know, a franchise changer. And those are just two downtrodden franchises right now that I think are not even close to being on that level. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm looking at Denver. I'm looking at a Minnesota potentially in terms of trying to get somewhere where I can go and say, okay, they've got pieces around me that I don't have to carry this load. They just need me to go in there and do what I do, but I don't have to be playing outside myself to try to get us over this hump. So for me, it's the wins. I always feel like if you win, especially as a starting quarterback, you will get the acclaim and you will get the money. But if you get the money and don't get the wins, hey, it depends on your guaranteed money. We know how the NFL is. Those contracts ain't worth the paper it's written on. You can wipe your butt with it. So, you know, I want to win. I want to be in the playoffs. I want to go to the Super Bowl. That's what I would do if I was a starting quarterback and I had a chance to go somewhere.
Wow. Interesting. Because, I mean, there's some squads that right now, like, that are pretty much ready-made. Like you talked about, good call on that. You know, like, you know, Denver's pretty much ready-made. Arizona wants to get a little younger. That's an interesting scenario. Buffalo, you know, I'm not saying that's the situation. But, yeah, just keep an eye on that, too. So, Rob, what say you about that? So, do you chase wins or do you chase money?
Man, y'all see Texas Tech fans did to Trae Young tonight?
Mm-mm. What'd they do?
Ooh. Basically cursing them out. F you,
oh, wow.
Trae Young. F you, Trae.
Whoa. Come on, Lubbock. Lubbock, stand up. You can't go. You can't take it that far.
Oh, man, it was shouting. But anyway, getting back to the question, I don't mean to digress, but maybe our fans in there need to know about that incident in Lubbock tonight involving Texas Tech with a 10-point win over Oklahoma. But they really gave Trae Young the blues there in Lubbock tonight. But getting back to the question, I mean, I like the point JQ made about Minnesota. I mean, that's a team that obviously just went to the NFC Championship game. And I totally agree, too. I would definitely chase the wins as opposed to the money. I mean, you go for the wins,
money
will come probably for the rest of his career. And so, obviously, you want to be with a team that's going to set you up for success for the long term. And Minnesota's a very intriguing option. Like I said, the defense is legit. Outside of that Philadelphia game this year, the defense was pretty much legit all season. And maybe Carolina in the regular season might have been the only other game. I remember them giving up over 30 points throughout the whole season this past year. So, obviously, that would be a legitimate match for Minnesota. Now, the three teams I hear that's in contention are the Broncos, the Jets, and the Browns. I haven't heard that the Vikings are going to get into that. But, you know, there's still a lot of time left for that particular situation. Now, if those are the three teams that's going to be in contention, I mean, you're talking about three teams that didn't make the playoffs this past season. But if you had to say out of those three, which team may be closer to making the playoffs, I would say the Jets.
Denver. Really?
And, yeah, I would go with the Jets. Another team that they were really competitive in just about every game this past season. And obviously, Todd Bowles did a tremendous job from a defensive standpoint. He got two Pro Bowlers on that defensive line. I think that would be the team that could possibly sneak in. I don't think you're going to beat the Patriots for the division, but you can possibly sneak in for a wild card. Out of those three teams, definitely not the Browns, that's for sure. But out of those three teams, if it's the Jets, the Broncos, and the Browns, I personally believe the Jets would be the closest one to possibly being a playoff team out of those three teams.
Arizona.
Yeah, who are you going to talk to?
Robbie Anderson going to be in jail. He's talking about, you know, slapping the cop's wife and all kind of crazy stuff. If I'm Denver with that defense and you still got Bebe and Emmanuel Sanders, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I don't know, man. I think I would at least get my hand in Denver before I go with the Jets, just because I don't know. Who are you going to throw to in New York?
Denver looked like a debacle this past season, though. And Bebe Anderson, my Bebe can't catch a cold anymore. But, I mean, with the number of drops that he's been having on a consistent basis over the last couple of years. But, I mean, they look like a straight-up debacle this past season under Vance Joseph. They got off to a decent start, but, I mean, they were horrible in the last 10, 12 games of that season this past season. That could change. I would definitely put the Broncos over Cleveland, but I still would say that the Jets, out of those three teams, have been the most competitive on a consistent basis under Todd Bowles. And he could probably be the difference to get them over the hump to at least a 9-7, 10-6, and best case scenario, 11-5 season for the Jets. And in a conference that's fairly weak right now, which is the AFC. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think Arizona right now is focusing on the draft. I know they would really like to trade up and get into the top five. To be able to get their hands either on Darnold or Josh Rosen. So we'll see if they pull the trigger on that. But I think that's what the Cardinals is focusing on, getting their guy in the draft right now.
I don't think any one of those guys is worth trading up for. If I was Arizona, I'd be trying to talk to Kirk. Like, Kirk. I need to come holler at me.
And you talk about the Browns, you talk about the Broncos, you talk about the Jets. All three of those teams have top six picks. So, in Andre's point, that's really going to affect the draft, too. If one of those teams can get Kirk Cousins, that's really going to affect what happens in the draft, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and JQ, surprisingly, let's say the Browns, you know, pick Kirk Cousins, not say he doesn't go there, but then, you know, let's say you get like a Saquon Barkley, like Rob mentioned in the draft, then that definitely changes that squad, and then you get, you know, another wide receiver. Who knows what we're talking about? But again, that's probably more of a dysfunctional organization, just because of what's been happening, as opposed to that, you know, that organization can have the, you know, potential of getting a quarterback, you know. But yeah, good.
I tell you what, you're right. But if you think about it, if Josh Gordon can, you know, stay off that drink and the weed, Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman are not a bad 1-2 wide receiver set. You get Saquon with that. I mean, we're looking at the 0-16 Cleveland team, and I get it. They're a dumpster fire. I mean, they are the dumpster fire in the NFL. But they've got some pieces. Their offensive line isn't horrible. You know, they got some pieces on the outside. You get Saquon with that, and then you kind of focus on the defense in the draft. You could be looking at one of those teams. Not saying they're going to go, you know, make a huge push, but I think they've got some pieces that he can work with on offense, and if they can focus on the drafts on the defensive side of the ball, they could be sneaky. I don't want that. I hope they totally butcher it in the Browns fashion, as they always do. But I'm just saying, if you look
at
the
tight end of the draft last year, extremely athletic from University of Miami, first round.
Yep.
We didn't get to see a whole lot of him last year, but a guy that's still very athletic with a lot of potential going forward. with those wide receivers you talk about. And they can get Cousins to get Barkley and maybe a Minka Fitzpatrick in a draft, which I know the Browns are also high on him as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a lot of
talent
on that team if they can pull that off.
Absolutely. That's a lot of makings.
Yeah,
don't you
like
do it, Cleveland. Don't you do it.
It's one of those things that makes – it would be, if it would make too much sense there to pull it off, because then right there, then we're not – they're not the laughingstock of the NFL anymore. So, again, we'll see what happens. And like I said, the offseason is going to be very interesting for the Kirk Cousins saga and what happens. So, gentlemen, as we kind of transition here, let's talk about Johnny Manziel. There's been a lot of comparisons with him and Baker Mayfield. And the question is, I think, is it going to hurt him in the draft, or is it just like, just the fact that he's just kind of like this, kind of wild man, Rob? What do you think about that? Is that something that's going to be a challenge for Baker as he progresses in the draft?
I personally think most of those comparisons are being made by people in the media. I don't actually think that a lot of the NFL scouts are making this comparison. I mean, they're letting Baker Mayfield stand on his own 2 feet. There are a few concerns about Baker Mayfield from an off-the-field standpoint, but it's not as bad as what the off-the-field concerns were for Johnny Manziel. And so I think they are giving Baker Mayfield – I don't think the NFL scouts are making this comparison. It's more so the media. And the NFL scouts, they don't listen to the media when it comes to the draft evaluation. They make their own decisions, and we've seen that on several occasions with Mel Kiper or whoever your so-called NFL draft experts
Todd McShay.
McShay, and from all the various networks. Yeah. There you go. I was getting there. Thanks for having me in there. But the NFL scouts make their own decisions here. And they're not. It's really the media that's making those comparisons. And I think it's still safe to say right now that it's a very good chance that Baker Mayfield can be a top 20 pick in this draft. I mean, we just mentioned three teams that need a quarterback. Well, actually four. We talked about the Browns. We talked about the Jets. We talked about the Broncos. We talked about the Cardinals. You can add a few more teams in that mix.
The Bengals.
That need a quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about Kirk Cousins being one of them, but there are a lot of other teams that are going to have to address the quarterback position in the draft. And so I think it's still safe to say. I mean, we haven't even talked about the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
I mean, they benched their starter for a guy that threw 5 INTs in the first half. So you got to watch the Buffalo Bills in that mix as well. So there are a lot of needy quarterback teams in the NFL right now.
Yes, hey, Cincinnati. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
What about? I'm not trying to like take your thunder with Cincinnati, JQ. But what if there's like one of those shocking moves that happens? Like, what if all of a sudden, like Jacksonville is like, "Yo, Kirk, come. You know, we don't want Blake. You know, come to us." I mean, what if something crazy like that happens? I mean, you know, because Jacksonville's there. You know, I don't know if they trusted Blake enough. I mean, I don't know. But you know, literally, they need somebody that has just enough to kind of throw it. If they make a move like that, you gotta, say, man, that they're kind of.
You gotta listen,
man,
to Kirk Cousins.
So, that'll
be a classic example of going for wins over money.
Talking
about a team in Jacksonville with a very elite defense, and you know, gave New England all they can handle in the AFC Championship game.
They did.
They just got too conservative in the end.
I mean,
trust the Bortles.
Go ahead.
I mean, Jackson will have to be go to the forefront if they get in play here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. I was going to say about Cincinnati is, man, Buffalo would take Andy Dalton right now, getting them into the playoffs. You could make that deal, Cincinnati, do it. But back to the Mayfield and Manziel comparison. To me, looking at it, it's apples and oranges kind of thing, because for Johnny Manziel, you got to remember, in all those times he was going to the, Texas frat party and causing trouble, he was out in the streets acting a fool. You know, outside of that one, incident with Baker, trying to run from the police in Fayetteville, which is hilarious if you haven't seen that clip, because the cops absolutely just drove him into that wall. That was so funny to me. Even before he planted the flag, I thought that was hilarious. But Baker's pieces have been on the field, planting the flag, you know, grabbing his crotch. You know, you don't see him, you know, off campus cutting the fool in these stories where he's just acting an idiot. When Manziel, he did it on the field, but he also did it a lot off the field. So if you're looking at Baker, you're like, you know what, I just got to try to temper this dude's, you know, competitiveness where he gets just a little carried away on the field. But off the field, he seems to be a student of the game. He's not in trouble. We don't hear about him out doing drugs and drinking and womanizing. Like, you don't hear that from Baker. It's all of his stuff has been on the field of play where he's gotten too carried away. And it's like, you know what, if a guy's that fired up about it, if I feel like I can just kind of get him to mature a little bit and I can temper some of that without taking the edge of what makes him so good, such a competitor and such a good quarterback, then I can live with that, to Rob's point, from the NFL, you know, scout's perspective. But if a guy is heavy into drugs and alcohol and women, you know, that's hard to do to get him off of that. So I don't think you really have that problem with Baker. And I'm going to say I think he goes top 10. You know, we talk about it every year.
I agree.
Quarterbacks always artificially rise in the draft. You know, it takes one team to fall in love with him. You have so many teams that need a quarterback in that top 10 to 12. I think he's going to shoot up in that draft because you already have the Cleveland's consultant is already talking about Baker Mayfield. He's been talking about Baker Mayfield. And I don't know if that's to get somebody to try to trade with him so he can acquire more picks or if they really just like him like that. But, you know, me personally, I don't like it for my own personal reasons. But if I was objective to sit back and say, can I get a guy that's going to come in here and be able to lead these dudes in this locker room, go out there, he's going to give us that edge, that competitiveness, and always keep us in the game, I'm going to seriously, seriously consider Baker Mayfield in that top 10, top 12. So I hope that they don't use Johnny Manziel as a comparison poster because I think the trouble they've gotten into is so different that you have to be able to separate the two and give him his proper evaluation based on him alone.
Good call, man. Like I said, right now they're saying, Rob, JQ, they're saying that Johnny Manziel is bipolar. That's what he's trying to say right now, man. So that's one of the things, man. So, again, that's a whole
nother issue. Drink,
so,
when I drank on the weed, that's what he's bipolar on.
he just said he's bipolar. That's what he's telling everyone. He's trying to make a little comeback. He had a little, some problems with that too, man. So anyway, all right. So that's what's up.
You've been hanging out in the bar here with you, JQ.
Hey man, hanging out with Andre.
What? Dude, you know I have no like. That's not even like even in the stratosphere there. Before we talk
hey,
about
man,
the squad, the Lakers. What?
I had Andre at the game. He was like, man, where the liquor at? We got to get some liquor. We got to get some drink. No, I'm messing with you. He did not say that. I'm just messing with you. I'm messing. I'm playing, Marcy. I'm playing. He did not say that. I'm just joking.
I mean, I like, I'm not saying I'm getting lit or anything like that. I enjoy, you know, it's all good to have celebrate, stuff like that. It's all good. Really quick, before we talk about your squad, JQ, the Lakers here, I want to talk about Josh McDaniels and what happened. You know, he kind of withdrew from the coaching job, from the Colts job. And, you know, obviously agent wasn't happy about that, so his agent fired him. And I think, guys, just in retrospect, this was a terrible move for Josh McDaniels because now I think he's lost the opportunity to get another head coaching job because, you know, for whatever situation would happen, you can't kind of back out of something. You know, you kind of get somebody your word, and then you decide, you know, whatever. You didn't want to leave the nest for whatever reason. And I think it's a terrible decision for Josh McDaniels, and I think he's not going to get another head coaching job in the NFL. What say you about that, Rob? You think that's accurate with that?
Well, I think you're close to being accurate with that, but
okay.
I think he still will be a head coach in the National Football League, but guess who he's going to be
yep.
with? The Patriots.
Wow. Patriots. Oh, good call.
He's
going to
be
okay.
the guy that eventually replaces Bill Belichick. And I think that's okay. basically what this is all about. And I think behind the scenes, I think that's what the Patriots have sold them on. Even Bill Belichick has made commitments to being a mentor to him and giving him more reins and overseeing the player personnel and things of that nature and helping him to be a head coach / general manager. And I think that was really what talked him into staying. I believe what he did was Bush League. No, don't get me wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way it was handled was very unprofessional. And obviously, your word is everything when it comes to these professional ranks. And I totally agree with you, Andre, is that from the rest of the league, it's going to be extremely hard for him to get another opportunity as the head coach because this is pretty close to the second time he's done something like this. And And so from I think from the rest of the league standpoint, I think it's all but shot that he'll get another head coaching job. But I think he will be a head coach, but it's going to be right there with New England. We don't know how many more years Bill Belichick is going to be coaching. I would say he probably will stick around until Brady retires. But I think this basically is setting up for them to hand the reins over to Josh McDaniels whenever Bill Belichick is ready to hang it up from a coaching standpoint. But definitely very unprofessional. It's, you know, it's very unprofessional from a professional ranks. I know his agent was extremely upset about it. And typically when these agents in the past, when they have these verbal agreements, they stick to them. And from these ranks, and I don't think we've seen something like this from a professional sports standpoint since DeAndre Jordan did it to the Dallas Mavericks a few years back, where he gave them the word and he committed to the Mavs, and all of a sudden he pulled out. And so it's very unforeseen in professional sports. It doesn't happen very often, but I definitely think it was Bush League on McDaniel's part.
So I agree with what you guys are saying. Definitely, you know, it was ridiculous. You can't do that. And they waited all this time, and you knew they were waiting on you. But, you know, I've gone back and forth about it, but here's the thing I come back to. It only takes one fool. It only takes one desperate franchise to be sliding down and look and say, look at all the success he's had. Yeah, he, you know, they could talk themselves into it. Well, he didn't know about Andrew Luck, and Jim Irsay is a drug addict, and yada, 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 yada. And they could say, well, you know what? Our organization is built better than that. We just need a head coach to come in here and help turn the slide that we've been on around. I'm not saying that he's going to be popular because he's not. He's burnt a lot of bridges with that, and I totally agree with that. But in 2 or 3, 4 years, and he'd say he falls out with Belichick or Kraft, it's like, you know, I like this other guy. And, you know, I know we groomed you for this, but, you know, I'm the owner. I can make this move. He is going to have the pedigree still on there. If he gets a couple years removed from it and there's one or two franchises that are struggling, like, you know, we need somebody that knows X's and O's and we need to splash higher, I can see them going after Josh McDaniels. It can't be next year. Don't get me wrong. But in 2 or 3 years, after, you know, the next biggest, you know, debacle has happened, or the next 2 or 3 biggest debacles have happened, and it's not on the front page anymore, and they still, you know, make some deep runs into the playoffs, I can see a bad team or two saying, you know what, we've made these picks here in the last couple of years, we just need a guy that can come in and maximize the talent. I can totally see them returning to Josh McDaniels. I can. I can see that happening. And we can all be here like, what? I can't believe that happened. But it only takes one sucker to feel like, you know what, he ain't going to do it to us. You know, we've got this quarterback that doesn't have an injury that we just drafted, that everybody sees his potential. Or we've got this defense, and we just need, you know, somebody to be a caretaker at quarterback, and we need a coach that can coach him up to help him do that and maybe make the next step. I can see them taking a chance on Josh McDaniels. I just can.
Wow. All right. All righty then. Okay. I stand corrected. So, man.
You're taking with the Bengals, though, right, JQ?
I might. It's better than Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis gonna give you his word, but he gonna still suck. So what's that gonna get you? And that's my point. If you got a coach that's bad, but you got a roster that, if you feel like you have an innovative coach that can come help him, he's gonna have to go through some lengthy interviews with that team. They're gonna be like, look, we know what you did. Where are you at, bro? Because listen, if you do this again, now we're just gonna fire bomb your car because you ain't gonna do it to us. Act like you did to Indianapolis. But I can see somebody taking that chance on a splash hire, like, what choices do we have? We have to do something. We're right here. We feel like if we can get this guy, he's ready because they messed him over in New England. Now, think about it. Say New England messes him over, and then he becomes somewhat sympathetic after you get over the, you know what, this is what you deserve. And it's like, well, you know, who, you know, they hired this dude over him. He's been here all this time. That's what you deserve. But then people are going to be looking like, you know what, he's still a pretty good coach, and we need a head coach. And we look at the rest of the people out here, some retreads, some dudes that we don't believe in. I could just see somebody taking a chance on him. I don't think it's going to be 5, 10, 15 teams, but if you got one or two, that's all you need.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And,
fair enough.
And in all of this, the Colts actually wind up with the winning offensive coordinator in the Super Bowl instead of the losing offensive coordinator in the Super Bowl with the hire of Frank Reich, offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, also was longtime quarterback for the Buffalo Bills as well. So we'll see. I mean, obviously you have to think that he had a lot to do with that game plan Philly had in the Super Bowl as well. So it still could turn out to be a good hire for the Colts.
agree.
Just like that. Sometimes the best move is sometimes, you know, it looks like it can be like a, you know, hey, you're getting, you know, the Colts could actually come out on top of this, which is kind of crazy, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Colts, they may have dodged a bullet for sure, man. So, man.
You may have.
We'll see. All right, gentlemen.
Like Rob says, who has won yet off that Belichick tree? I remember that point he made last week, and it's a very good point when we were talking about Patricia.
Yeah.
So they could have. I'm just playing a devil's advocate that a downtrodden team that's looking to make a splash hire is like, you know what, I'll take a chance because what we've been doing ain't working.
Nice. Good call. Hey, Rob, this is some fantasy shout-outs here. We've got about 9 minutes here. We'll get through the show pretty quickly, is what it looks like here. So go ahead to the fantasy shout-outs here, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy shout-outs for this past week. Andre, you probably want to hear yourself being called, right? 7-1 victory, triple-double over Blue Devil All-Stars. Your team's been on the road, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a champ is here, James from New Orleans, his team, 7-1 victory over Madhouse on Madison. Those are the two biggest wins of the week. And JQ's team, Ohio player, still in first place. JQ's whining all week, but he still managed to pull out a tie against Saints Pelicans 23 with a 102-34 record.
Listen,
7-1.
I will own my whining, but you can't bank on the weeks that Paul George and LeBron James had. They did it. I wrote two dudes to a tie, and it felt like an 8-0 victory because I was getting my butt whooped every day until the last day of the week and pulled out a tie. So, you know what, I will full on own the whining. But, you know, those guys just went crazy. And you can hope that a guy's going to get 17 assists in a game or 13 rebounds. Like, damn, he did that. But you can't bank on that. But I just want to say it's gotten real interesting because I'm paying attention to everything else that's happening. Dre is and Pastor Rock are really creeping up on you, Rob, in terms of the record. So whoever doesn't win that division is going to be real close to you for that 5 seed. So that piece there I'm enjoying what's happening. I'm paying attention to what's happening here. And shout out to Ronald, Six Talkers 23, for locking down a playoff spot this week. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of different permutations about, you know, who gets who in the second round. If we say that me and Ronald get the first and second seeds and we get a bye, that, you know, that 3, 6, and 4, 5 matchups are going to be really fun to watch. And then whoever gets matched up in the second round, if it comes to that, is going to be interesting. I see Dre and Pastor Rock. They are having a flat out battle for that division right now. It's been fun. I'm enjoying this fantasy season.
Yeah, see, I think I saw you guys only separated by half a game, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I want it, man. Like I said, last year I was trying to set to there's an app to start active players, and it wasn't doing something right. So literally, each day, man, that's kind of, I felt like, you know, that was my kryptonite. But this year, it ain't happening. So keep an eye. It's coming. I'm coming. What? Yeah. All right. I'm done. Before I get
see
trouble
you
here.
Doing
all
your
right.
thing.
Here we go.
He is. I gave him credit.
There we go. Appreciate that, fellas. All right, so this is a big move. All right, so we know the Lakers had some interesting moves. Guys, they get Isaiah Thomas. And the question is, so should the Lakers consider moving on from Lonzo Ball? And I guess the floor is going to be yours, JQ, because this is your squad. And I'm kind of curious to hear what you're going to say because I think you're going to one direction, but I'd like to hear this. So go ahead, bro. Go ahead, bro.
Well, not for Isaiah Thomas because he's still a supremely – defensive liability, for one. And for two, with Ball being hurt right now, if you were to do anything, or even at the end of this year, you know, you're already punting on the second-round pick, and he's at an all-time low in terms of what you can get back in terms of a trade where you feel like, okay, you know, we got egg on our face to spend the second pick in the first round on him, and then now we're already talking about moving him. I think you got to preach a little patience because, you know, before he got hurt and they made these moves, when he wasn't playing, they weren't playing well until this recent run they got on. So I like what the Lakers did in terms of the move they made in terms of setting themselves up. You know, you got to complete the process to get some free agents to come. But I wouldn't invest big money in Isaiah Thomas. I would let the market play out and say, hey, I know you want to be a Laker. If we can find a deal that makes sense to where we don't handicap ourselves salary cap-wise to make a move in this next summer when you got a Klay Thompson and a Jimmy Butler available there that could be free agents, don't do that where you hamstring yourself if you can't get the big fish this summer. But I think it's too early to say you move on from him because I'm not a ball family fan. And, you know, it's more about LeVar, and I've always said that, you know, when you invite the circus over to your house, don't be upset when the elephant shit in your yard. That's what's happening with LeVar Ball. But you invited that circus to your house. So you got to deal with that. You knew what you were getting into. I think it's too early right now. If somebody blows you away with a deal for Lonzo, you got to at least consider it, if not make that move. But I wouldn't be actively going out shopping around the league because then you just bring his value down and he's been hurt and you can't get maximum value for him. So as a Laker fan, I would preach patience. You know, you weren't going to probably make the playoffs this year, and if you did, you were just fodder for the Rockets or the Warriors in the first round. So, you know, you still feel like you're on pace. You made the moves you need to make to set yourself up financially going into this summer and to hopefully into the summer after that if you don't, you know, do any crazy Moscow Luol Deng signs where you're just like, man, come on, man, what are you doing? But, you know, Pelinka and Magic haven't been doing that. They've been actually making pretty good moves, and they got a pick out of the deal from Cleveland, even though it will be a late first-round pick. But think about it. You got Josh Hart. You got Kuzma in the late rounds, in the late first round this year. If you can kind of pull that off again and get a free agent or two or get one and roll it over, then you can give yourself and then see what Ball can do with that team, with those guys, if he can stay healthy. And then, you know, give him a full year of being healthy before you just decide, you know, to punt on him. Don't let the flash in the pan, Isaiah being happy to be away from Cleveland, say, oh, we got Isaiah now, so we can just get rid of Ball. I think that would be a real knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, man, I think from a talent perspective and the future perspective, Lonzo Ball is still, I think, is the player you want to bank on in Isaiah Thomas. When you look at the size standpoint, I mean, we're starting to see, I know Isaiah Thomas may not be 100% healthy as of yet, but he's a defensive liability, and he's actually been a better off-the-ball player than he has been as a point guard. And Lonzo Ball, as far as having a point guard on your team, to me is definitely the guy that you will want from a future standpoint and probably even from a now standpoint with the way Isaiah Thomas has been struggling shooting the basketball this season. And he's never really been a point guard as well. So I definitely think Isaiah Thomas, you know, I know we're getting ready to talk about that, but his stock and his value has dropped in the NBA tremendously. I think the concern with Lonzo Ball, obviously, is his dad in the recent comments that he's made about the only way he's going to re-sign with the Lakers is if the Lakers sign his brothers, LaMelo, I can't even remember their names.
D'Angelo,
LaMelo.
D'Angelo, one of the most dumb, foolish comments that you can ever make. And I mean, Lonzo has a better chance of playing with that team in Lithuania than those guys have with playing with the Lakers. And it's really hurting. This obviously Lakers have got to be fed up with this foolishness, and I think it would really hurt. Even if the Lakers wanted to trade him, I mean, how many teams are going to want to deal with that circus, as JQ just mentioned?
Right. It's true.
Yeah, how many teams are going to want to deal with that circus going forward? I mean, hey, the only way my son Lonzo is going to re-sign with the Lakers is if we sign LaMelo. And, I mean, come on, Lakers are not going to do that foolishness. I mean, you can forget it. I mean, they'll let Lonzo go play in Lithuania before they do that foolishness. And it really and even if the Lakers want to make a trade for him, it's going to be really hard for another team to pick up with that foolishness.
And if CBA won't allow it.
Hold on real quick. Let's go to the OT portion. We're going to continue this topic. So go ahead, Rob. Set up the OT portion, and we'll get these last two topics in, and we'll finish that. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, next week we're going to be back on the air on Wednesday night. We're going to go back to our regularly scheduled night here starting on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. Obviously, we're going to be getting you ready for the second half of the NBA season, getting closer to the NFL Combine, NFL Draft, NFL Free Agency. So we still have a lot to talk about, getting close to March Madness here, getting you down the stretch here for college basketball as well. So still a ton happening in the sports world. You don't want to miss our show on next Wednesday night. That will be February 21st, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Yeah, come on, Cincinnati. Trey Andy down to the Bills. And one time for my Bearcats being in the top 5. I love it. appreciate everybody listening to the show and downloading the podcast. We'll holler at y'all next week.
Sir,
the Bearcats haven't been that high since the Kenyon Martin days, right?
Hey, listen,
wow.
I'm over here.
Bob Huggins.
I'm over here quietly optimistic. Yes, I love it. But can I just go to the piece there? The CBA won't allow. The CBA won't even allow that. Like, you can't do that, LeVar. You know that you can't do that. Come on, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, you knew that when you got him that was going to happen. And so my thing is, if I'm Magic and I'm Rob Pelinka, you just have to ignore it. You know what I mean? Like, just don't even pay him any mind. You almost have to let that locker room police itself, where the players are going to have to look at Lonzo and say, man, are you all in here? Do you want to be here? If that's the case, at some point you're going to have to talk to your dad and tell him what he's doing is fracturing what's happening in here, and that affects me and you. And at some point, you know, the rubber is going to have to meet the road, where they're going to have a players-only meeting, and not like the Cleveland ones where the piece where it's, you know, egos in the locker room conflicting. It's going to be we can't trust what we say to you doesn't get back to your dad, and he doesn't go back to the national media with his foolishness. You got to be all in here. You got to tell him to shut his mouth and relax. And they're going to have that conversation sooner rather than later. It can't come from Magic. It can't come from Plick. It can't come from Luke Walton. It's got to be that locker room holding Lonzo accountable for what he allows his dad to dictate to be the narrative around that team. And until that happens, it's not going to matter. And it won't matter wherever Lonzo goes to Rob's point, because nobody's going to want to deal with that. If I'm trading for him, I'm going to have a call with Lonzo and say, hey, if we bring you here, if the Lakers make that move, and I'm not advocating that they do, but if I'm trading for him, I need to talk to Lonzo and say, if you come here, then that stops. We're coming to get you, and not you and your dad and your brothers. You have to know that, and you have to tune them out. So if it's another team or if it's a player that's not locker room, they're going to have that conversation. But Isaiah Thomas, you know who he reminds me of a little bit? And not as stockily built, but Juwan Wagner from Memphis, who was too small to be really a two-guard, but wasn't a point guard. So you're absolutely right, Rob. You have to let him play off the ball in order to get his stock back up. I think if Lonzo comes back healthy and can facilitate, like we can see he can, because he's not really looking to shoot. He's looking to assist and rebound, and they can let Isaiah play off the ball, and they just have to switch on defense or however they need to make that work, but not let Isaiah be the point guard and let him play in that kind of manner. He can rehabilitate his stock. But if he wants to be bouncing the ball up and down the court and he's basically putting Lonzo off the ball, that's not going to work for the Lakers. So if I'm the Lakers, I'm with you, Rob. If you try to see what you can get Isaiah to stay, or just to kind of get him in a better frame of mind to maybe wanting to stay, or, you know, kind of some kind of sign and trade, then that's what you have to do. But you can't let Isaiah be the point guard. He's not a point guard. He's a combo guard. He's got to be just an undersized two guard. That's who he is.
You know, it's tough because Isaiah had a pretty rough, you know, year, man, you know, to his sister and then getting traded. And I mean, everything that kind of happened. And I still think, you know, the injury, all that stuff, I think there's a lot of things happening. And I think psychologically he may not be there yet. So once he gets it together, I think, like I said, I mean, his value right now is maybe dropped right now, but it could be like a rising stock, guys. He could definitely kind of find that good locker room, if you will. Because we know for a matter of fact that he was not fitting in at Cleveland. So, you know, maybe this is a good move, a fresh start for him as well. And like you said, you know, having Lonzo, you know, there is probably the best situation for him because he can play off the ball, like we talked about, Rob, like you said, JQ too. So, again, you know, his value may drop, but I think he does, like a stock, he has the opportunity to kind of rise. He's just been kind of a tough, you know, couple of months there, and hopefully he'll kind of get everything back running. And I don't know if he's fully healthy yet, just yet, too. I mean, you know, but – you know, we'll see. So that's my little thought on that. You have anything else to say about that, Rob, as far as his value or anything like that, or what?
Well, I mean, he's got to show something here down the stretch of this season. And, you know, and possibly getting Lonzo Ball back, as JQ just mentioned, and having him playing off the ball. He's got to show that scoring ability that he had with the Celtics, I think, here down the stretch, because it's something that's got to offset his defensive liability. With his size, obviously, and you can tell. You can tell he's not 100% yet, and he's still trying to work his way back from that hip injury too. So I think we really have to see something from him. We're really gonna have to see something from him these last couple of months of the season, and that could determine what his value is going to be going forward for next season. And it may take him having to sign a 1-year deal or something, or a 2-year deal. Next year, or a 2-year deal with an opt out clause after year one, still kind of to build back his value in the league, coming off this injury. I just can't see that anybody's going to take a risk with giving him a max deal or a 4 or 5 year contract and a max deal. I definitely don't think this is the guy that Magic Johnson is looking for with a cap space he just created as far as giving him the max contract for. So I definitely cannot see that going forward. He's going to have to take like a mid-level kind of deal or he's going to have to take a prove-it kind of deal to get back up to that kind of level.
Agreed.
Nice. All right, a few more topics here. Let's talk briefly about LeBron James. It feels like Rob loves the Cavaliers here, but is LeBron James doing everything or anything differently with the new-look Cavs right now? So what say you on this?
Can't help it. Everybody, this is what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time, but it's all good. Man.
Everywhere you look.
I'm just messing. Go ahead. Go ahead, man. JQ, you up first,
I'm sorry, where are we going?
LeBron. It's not the LeBron. Yeah, you want to take that, JQ? You want to pass it to Rob? I don't care. It's on you guys.
I mean, I can. I mean, he just looks rejuvenated, and that's the only way to describe it. And I think for him right now in his career and what's happening, he's got guys that are going to defer to him and know that he's the alpha. And I think, you know, Kyrie was not willing to do that in the beginning. He was, but then he wasn't. Everybody was like, well, Kyrie's a stud, so he shouldn't have to do that. And then you had that kind of friction. What he's having now is, you know, if you heard George Hill say, you know, he's Batman and we all have to be Robins. That has to be music to LeBron's ears. They're doing everything they can to impress him and say, hey, stay. We're going to ball out and show you that all these other places you're talking about going, do they have, you know, pieces you can build around you with and guys are going to hustle and play and have that youth and athleticism that we've talked about for weeks. He's kind of gotten that. And, of course, we're in the honeymoon period. So, you know, you can only take it as a small sample size, but – another big game tonight for LeBron, you know, another nice road win at OKC. So you're talking about going to Boston and winning by 20-something points, going to OKC and winning, I think, by like 8 to 10 points. I mean, those are two solid wins to help build that camaraderie and that trust. And that's what they were missing before was that trust. And I believe they have that moving forward. It will all look, you know, it remains to be seen. They're going to hit some patches of adversity that all NBA teams go through. How do they respond from that is going to be a telltale sign for how that locker room really are they really now? Is it just a, you know, a good times thing? And then when they hit hard times and all those bad issues resurface, and it's like, okay, if that happens, you got rid of half the team. It can't be to them now. It's got to be LeBron, right? Because he's the common denominator to both of those situations. So give it a little bit more time. I think he just looks like he's more locked in than focused. I think he feels like he's got to trust those guys. They're doing everything they can to prove to him that, hey, we can win together. You can win with us. Stay here. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see coming down the stretch. They've got a lot of games. They've got a really tough schedule moving down past the All-Star break. A lot of back-to-backs and, you know, 3 games in 4 nights. So that whole, you know, running around with, you know, the three in the arms with Jordan Clarkson, everybody jumping up and down and you know, fist bumping and chest bumping, that's all well and good. But what happens when the adversity hits? That's what I want to see.
Nice. Rob.
Yeah, I totally agree. You can see that he's excited again, you know, playing basketball. When you look at the stats, as JQ already mentioned, it really helped him to break even in his fantasy league from the basketball standpoint. When you look at the way he's distributing the basketball, he's excited. He's going back to being that stat sheet stuffer kind of player where he's just filling up every category. From a scoring standpoint, I think he put up 37 points. Tonight. I mean, we got to remember the last time this Cavaliers team faced the Thunder, they gave up 148 points. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looked like the Cavs were done. I mean, they gave up 148 points to that the same Thunder team, and obviously they gave up 112 tonight. But that's a big improvement for giving up 148, and they get the win. Over the Thunder as well. I mean, they totally look like a different ball club. There's still cause for concern from my standpoint. I mean, they have gotten younger. They have gotten a little bit more athletic. They've got a little bit more length from a defensive standpoint, which should help them. But, you know, going forward, even when they get Kevin Love back healthy, you still only have 2 All-Stars on this team. And I think come playoff time, that's where it's going to be a challenge. And we all know once you get into the playoffs, it's all about how many stars you got on your team. And you're still down a star from Kyrie Irving. And so you still went from 3 legitimate stars to two stars on your team. And Kevin Love may be a star, but he's not a superstar. I mean, so basically you're only down to one superstar, and that's LeBron James. I do think it's going to help them on a defensive standpoint, and I do think this really helps them to be competitive in the Eastern Conference, and I think it's safe to say that you can probably put them back in play for the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
With the Cavs and the the Raptors and the Celtics. But, I mean, by any means, this doesn't give them any chance against Golden State still. And I know that's what LeBron wants to compete for. He wants to compete for a championship, as he rightfully should. But it still does not put them in a ballpark of Golden State at all. But I do think it gives them a chance. I mean, that was an impressive win going on the road and beating Boston by 22 points the other day. So I definitely think that puts them back in play in the East, but they still don't have enough stars to compete with Golden State.
Yeah, but you're killing me with Toronto. Until I see Toronto do it in the playoffs, the DeRozan and Lowry flame out too much for me to put any stock in them. I will give you the Celtics, though. I think it's going to end up being the Celtics and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I agree, but to a point, LeBron may be at the point of his career where with that team, with what they're willing to sacrifice and do to appease him, and not, you know, totally be looking for themselves, but to how they can make that team better and maximize LeBron, that might be something that can help them get over not having that other star. I agree with you. They're going to face a Golden State team or a Houston team that has stars, multiple stars, all stars, all first NBA stars. But for the way they're playing right now with the sharing and unselfishness of, I know my role on this team, and I'm not going to do too much more outside of that, because if I do my job and my role and that guy does his and that guy does that, we don't necessarily have to have three stars. We can have LeBron if we all play our parts. It's going to be interesting to see, you're right, if that kind of team play can elevate them to keep them in a conversation with teams with multiple stars. I agree with you, though. I don't think they still have anything going with Golden State. But at least if they play Golden State, they wouldn't lose every game by 30 points. The team they had before, if they even luck through the Eastern Conference, every game against Golden State, they're getting crushed. It's like it won't even be good viewing for TV to end. So that's why I feel like it's interesting. It's kind of rejuvenated some of the NBA season now, because they have fallen so far down off of it. You couldn't look at anybody in the Eastern Conference and be like, you know what, those guys have a shot at all. Not that I say Cleveland does, but they have the best shot now. If they can keep on this path, than what was happening before. So, I think it's rejuvenated the NBA. And I got to believe the NBA brain trust has got to be ecstatic about it.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, LeBron James is going to have to will this team. I mean, he's he can somehow take this team to a championship, I mean, obviously this is probably going to be one of his more impressive. And we've seen him, you know, take some, teams with no one else on it and take him to the finals. It wouldn't be the first time, but, I mean, I'm not saying that this team doesn't have no one else on it. I mean, Larry Nance, I mean, the guy is very athletic. He's long. He can run the floor. He should be able to hustle in those, help them in those hustle categories. Jordan Clarkson, another guy who's a very good athlete. And we've said this on the show many a times this basketball season, that the Cavs were old and they were slow and they didn't have any athletes. And now there's a difference. And now they've gotten younger, they're more athletic, they have length, and that's what you need. So obviously they've won four games in a row. They've won two in a row with the new guys on the team. And they've been – two pretty impressive wins on the road at Boston, and like I said, it's like night and day from the last time they played the Thunder. I mean, they look like a total mess when they give up that 148 points. We pretty much that Cavs team was done after that game. I mean, they were done. Obviously, for them to make these improvements, it's still early, but four games in a row, two really good, nice wins with the new guys so far.
I'll say this really quickly to say that it's good to see, like, we talked about the talent that they acquired, but also the fact that you got another characteristic. These guys are hungry. Like, George Hill, I forgot about him, the point guard. He came from Sacramento. They weren't really doing anything. So now you go to a team that's obviously competing for, playoffs. And now that's going to elevate your play. Same thing with, you know, with Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson. They're in a situation where they want to prove they're playing with, you know, a great player. Hey, let's step our game up. So you got situations adjusted these players. And Hood, same thing about Hood. Oh, why forget about Hood?
Yeah,
he's a great pickup too as well, man. So yeah, so you got, like you said, this team is a totally different team now. So I agree with you, Rob, that they're definitely on the cusp. They're definitely going to compete, you know, with the Raptors and the Celtics too for the Eastern Conference Finals again. So we agree that they don't have they may not have enough for the Warriors, but let's talk about the Warriors now.
Yeah.
As we wrap up the topic, are they better than last season? Say you, JQ.
No, I mean, how can they be? I mean, they won what 72, 73 games last year. I mean, no. I mean, that's not to say they aren't a good team. That's not to say they aren't a good team. But I mean, what did Bill Parcells say? Your record, you are what your record is. I mean, I think they're also in a little bit of a hangover, and it happens when you have that kind of season. And you win a championship. Wait a minute, no, they didn't do that last year. But they still won a championship last year. I don't think they're better. I think right now I don't think they're even trying to compete with last year. I think they're just trying to get through the regular season. Everybody expects them to be in the NBA Finals. So when you're playing games 34 out of 82, and then you expect to be, you know, running through the Western Conference, not run through it, but get through the Western Conference and make it to the NBA Finals, you have those dog days of the winter in the early spring where you're just like, you know what, I'm trying to get through this road trip. We know what we can do when everything is on the line. I just think that's where they are. Like, you see Steve Kerr has been talking about they're mentally fried. They're trying to get to the All-Star break. He's allowed them to coach the team, you know, the other day against the Suns. And I didn't take that as disrespect against the Suns. I think that they have enough basketball IQ on that team where they can do that. But it was just something to give them a jolt of energy, something different to make them excited about this game in February that nobody's going to remember, you know, a year in the playoffs or next year. Nobody's going to remember it because it's just one of 82. That's just where they are as a team. Everybody expects them to be their player for the ship at the end of the season. So, you know, they're battling through that, and that happens. You saw it happen with the Cubs, you know, in baseball. They won the World Series. And then they just, you know, just couldn't keep that mojo and that juice going through every game. I think that just – it happens sometimes when you have such a talented roster and you feel like, you know what, we know we're better than them. I mean, sometimes you kind of skate and coast a little bit, but I still don't think they're better last year. I don't think necessarily – better is not a knock on them. They're as good, I think, as last year, but they're not better.
All right, Rob.
Yeah, I still think the Warriors are definitely, you know, I definitely think they're still the team to beat. When you talk about, you know, they got a team of four All-Stars on it, and I don't think there's another team in the league that can match that, especially if they're healthy. If there's one cause for concern for the Warriors, their interior defense is really starting to become a concern with a lack of a big man in the paint. And you've seen it in a few games this season where they've been exposed in the middle of their defense. And in the past, I don't think we've seen that. But I know it's still a regular season. They still have enough firepower to overcome that. But if there's one weakness, as I just mentioned, we've seen that in some of their more recent losses here in the last few weeks. I know when they lost to the Thunder a week ago, I mean, you saw Steven Adams was even eating them alive in the paint there in that game. I mean, they didn't have anybody that could stop him in the paint, and that was unbelievable. And I think Thunder won that game by like 20 points. And so there's been a few games here in the last couple of weeks where that interior of the Warriors have been a real concern for them going forward. So we'll see how they can overcome that. And but I think they still have enough firepower to overcome it. But a team that could really expose them in the paint might be the best matchup for them for a possible upset. I still don't see it happen. But getting back to the question, I agree with JQ. As far as the regular season is concerned, they're not better. But I think they still have a chance to be better than last year come playoff time. And that's, you know, like I said, we'll have to see if they can overcome their interior deficiencies in the playoffs to be that team. But from a firepower standpoint, they can possibly be better than what they were last year come playoff time.
Yeah, and Dre, I don't mean to say that. And I'm sorry.
The second year of their them all being together as well. So we'll see from a chemistry standpoint if they can be better than they were last year come playoff time.
Yeah, so I misspoke. Yeah, of course, the record set of season was two seasons ago. But I'm going to say that, Dre, in the fact that when you're the Warriors right now, you're everybody's Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to keep getting that energy up game in and game out. You're on all these national televised games. Everybody's bringing their A++ game to play you because you are the bar. So it's hard, when you're on the road trips and here and there to consistently bring that energy, that level. No matter how talented you are, when you know you already know that you're good enough that if you turn it on, and we've seen them do it, that they can, just make people look foolish. You're right, Rob. They're giving up way too many interior scoring, and their turnovers has always been a bugaboo for them. But I just feel like when you get to that point where you're that good and everybody's always gunning for you and you got to do that for 82 games, it's hard to always bring that energy for 82 games. And sometimes they look worse than they should. But, I just blame it on that fact that everybody's gunning for them. They aren't gunning for anybody, really. Yeah, they want to beat Russ because of KD, but they aren't gunning for anybody for real because they know the talent they have on that team. They know they're going to be there at the end of the day. But, people are coming, all their games are must-see TV, and it's just hard to always bring that level of energy every game. So, I'm not going to knock them for that. If they were to bring that attitude into the playoffs and get, upset, then I would knock them for that. But during the regular season, it is what it is. They're going to put themselves in the 1 or 2 seed, and they're one of those teams like Cleveland was last year where they didn't care about whether they had number 1 seed. They can win anywhere in the playoffs. Let's just not kid ourselves. They can win anywhere, including Houston. They can win anywhere. But when you're the bar and everybody's trying to climb over you, it's hard to always match your intensity.
Yeah, well, like I said, shout out to Mark. She's enjoying the Warrior conversation too, man. So she's hyped about this too as well, man. She had concerns about Houston too, but she's feeling the love here right about now too. So yeah, there it is.
Shout out to Marcy.
Right, Houston's gonna be adding Joe Johnson to the mix, so we'll see. It gives them another shooter on that ball club as well. So from a shooting standpoint, Joe Johnson, James Harden.
Yeah. Is that
Eric Gordon?
Room, okay.
Ryan Anderson, yeah. So we'll see what happens with that.
Gotcha. All right, good deal. All right, yeah, Marcy's happy. So, yeah, that's what we do. All right, gentlemen, what a great show. Let's go ahead and get ready and wrap this up because, again, we wanted to keep it short and sweet in honor, obviously, of the Valentine's Day week and everything like that. So go ahead and wrap up the show, Mr. Rob Ford.
All right, Giants hire Mike Shurmur as offensive coordinator, quarterback coach. That's what Pat Shurmur is hiring.
Stole him from
Carolina. King Carolina got rid of him, made him available, actually.
Yep.
But,
that's right, because they hired
him.
That's right, they hired him. Yep. Okay, go ahead.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we'll be on the air on our Wednesday night again. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. for our friends in Honolulu. You definitely want to join us on next Wednesday night. Once again, we'll have getting you ready for the combine and the draft, free agency from an NFL standpoint, second half of the NBA season. Be post All-Star break this coming weekend. And then, of course, March Madness is right around the corner. Getting ready to start to seeing who's going to be ready to win it all in your NCAA tournament bracket. So we got a lot to talk about still here next week, so you don't want to miss our show on next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Tell me where you're from, Marcy, son. Shout out to Marcy listening to the show. Appreciate everybody listening to it and downloading it and looking forward to it. Let's go, Bearcats. And everybody out there, I hope you have a fantastic Valentine's Day tomorrow. Don't get too many trouble, and don't make no babies. And I'll holler at you next week.
babies are already being made. So anyway, a lot of love, gentlemen. Thank you so much. it's been a pleasure sharing the field of battle with you guys, as always, like every time we are able to do the show. Next week, yes, we're back on Wednesday. Look forward to talking about some more NFL, like we talked about, Rob, like we talked about the draft going to be coming. We're going to be talking about March Madness. A lot of things to discuss. So, again, what a fantastic evening. Gentlemen, take care of your ladies tomorrow, like we always do. And a lot of shout-outs for all of our wives and counterparts, all that fun stuff, too, girlfriends, everything like that. Peace. Good night, fellas. Have a good one.
All right, brother. Holla at you next
week. Good night, people.
Yep. Good night.